Good morning, everybody. We are live on Facebook again. It's 9 a.m. on Sunday. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are very glad, as always, to be here. I'm coming to you from Suffolk, where we are on a retreat, studying some new things about coaching, which has been really rather wonderful. We've had snow here in the UK, and it's been a right kerfuffle. Getting everybody here and some people getting away has been really difficult. So we've had a real adventure in the snow. And being in Suffolk, there is just so much snow as well in the countryside. So I'm sitting here and the light is kind of beaming through the window and shining directly on all of the snow that's now melting. So it's been a very big adventure for us. So this is where I am today, in this little barn where we're staying for this retreat. So today we have a source that Justin has chosen by Mark Nepo, which is very exciting to be with. Justin, do you want to say a quick hello and then I'm
I'm just
going
going to say, yes, I'll
to.
say hello, everyone. What a delight it is to be here. I'm not in Suffolk. I would have loved to have been in many ways, but I am in London celebrating the bat mitzvah of a cousin of mine. It's been a glorious thing to be witness to a young person who I love very much stepping into the beginnings of her adulthood. It's been fantastic to be alongside her. So I'm pleased to be here. Far away from Lizzie, but close to Lizzie as usual. And I think we should begin.
So, this is called Beyond What Goes Wrong. And I'm going to read this quote by, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but Elisa Kamersi. So I'm saying it. And then this little piece of writing from Mark Nepo. With each passing and passage, there is a further wearing away of the layers or coverings that obscure our essential selves. And so, as we say goodbye again and again, we feel thinner, narrower, more naked, more transparent, more vulnerable, in a palpable, holy way. So that's the quote by Elisa Kamersi. And then Mark Nepo writes, "When in the middle of difficulty, it's easy to paint the whole world as difficult. When in pain, it's easy to construct a worldview of pain. When lonely, it's easy to subscribe to an alienating philosophy of existence. Then we spend hours and even years seeking to confirm the difficult existence we know. Or we rebound the other way, insisting on a much lighter giving world if we could only transcend the difficulties that surround us. Life has taught me that neither extreme is helpful, though I've spent many good hours lingering in each. Instead, I think we're asked to face what we're given, no matter how difficult, and to accept that life is always more than the moment we find ourselves in. In every instance, there's truth of what we're going through and the resource of a larger, more enduring truth that's always present beyond what goes wrong."
And there's one more line, Lizzie, which I'm going to read, and then we should talk. Ultimately, he says, it's the enduring truth that helps us through. So I was thinking I would read this again, but I'm thinking we might as well. Let's talk. And maybe I can start by saying something about how I ended up choosing this. So I have wanted to bring Mark Nepo into this project for a long time. He's a, some people will know, he's a poet and a teacher and a philosopher and a writer. And he has this really brilliant, warm-hearted, wise and truthful way of talking through the difficulties that we're in the middle of without turning away from them and seeing the goodness, the good heart that's in the midst of it for all of us that we forget. And I, this one, of all the hundreds of things that I could have chosen, I spent a few days leafing through books of his, including this new book that this is from. And I wanted to bring this one in because, well, I suppose because I could see how true it is for me that it seems so obvious and so sort of like ready to hand, if that's the right way of saying it, that when I'm in difficulties, I often feel like I am in one way or another, that it's self-evident that the whole world is a ball of difficulty. When I'm frightened, the whole world is a source of fear. Or when I'm, as I've, I may have started talking about this last week, started to discover about my own life recently, how often I have a background narrative that there's punishment coming. And it seems like the whole world is a source of punishment. And even when I intellectually know that that's not the case, this isn't, I could produce for you lots of evidence that the world isn't like that. I can show you the way I'm loved and the way the world holds me, and that there's air to breathe and there's light and there's heat in my house and I have work to do and friends that I love and work that's all of that. I can say all of that, and yet at some visceral level, none of that really seems true. What seems most true is that the world is a ball of punishment or of pain or of, or something to be afraid of. Which is one of the reasons I really appreciate Mark Nepo saying, even when that's the case, there's always something that's true beyond that. And I think that's what's most easy, at least for me, that's what's most easy to forget. And that's a painful way to live. And I also recognize Lizzie, his what he says is, we get thrown into one of two sides of a polarity. So one side is, it's all terrible, it's all this way. Or we try and convince ourselves that it's all not this way. So we mount an effort. It's like a kind of extreme positive thinking or something. If I think something different enough and hard enough and more in a dedicated enough way, then I'll be released from this. And that's as much of a distortion or a falsehood as the first.
Yeah, it's so actually in this retreat we've been talking about depth and the different kinds of depths that we can be at and live from, and encountering this, either we subscribe to this loneliness or pain or difficulty, or we try and be in opposition to it and say, no, you know, in spite of all that, we can be positive or something. And it strikes me that both of those things being so normal and so understandable and so, I can find both of those parts very easily in me. There is also a depth that we can live from, a depth of presence, being present to this in ourselves, maybe, that can see and hold those dynamics and yet is untouched by it. And it feels to me like cultivating this kind of depth where, if you like, our container, the size of our container, the size of our capacity to hold, as it increases and deepens, more can be in that and faced into without us needing to change it or magnify it or be dramatic about it. Or, you know, we don't need to be taken out by stuff so much if we can encounter it and turn towards it with a genuine, open, wide view of more than the thing that's happening right now, or the experience that I'm having, or the terror that I'm in. And it feels to me like this is like a really supportive invitation to this kind of depth, to this resource, as Mark Nepo calls it, something that's enduring and always present. Like, presence is always here. Like, it's there for us, waiting right close for a moment of courage that we might let go of our story or our perception just a little bit to sink down into something deeper that can hold it all. And I feel like that's kind of what he's saying.
Such beautiful language to talk about depth. Because it seems to me that that's what we are, us human beings, is we are depth. And we often don't know it. And we often, one of the ways I was thinking about this is slightly different language, but I'll come back around to depth, is there's always a part of us that is caught up in our pain or in our fear, and it's very easy to take that part to be the whole. That's the whole of me, is this part. And to forget that there's way, 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 way more to us. One way to go is that there are other parts that could come into play. But another way to go is holding all of that, enveloping all of that. Or another way of saying it is giving rise to all of that is, as you're saying so beautifully, something way deeper, more mysterious that we can't know fully. I know that often the trap for me is to try and know. Like if I figure this out, if I know it well enough, then I'll be freed, when actually the most life-giving move is to go, I don't really know what's going on. I know some things, it's really helpful to know some things. But on a bigger scale, I don't really know. And then to know myself, I think of it like a great well, or like a deep subterranean life-giving river, or the something that is us but is also all of us, that flows beneath everything. And when we're prepared to let go enough in order and to feel this way in which we are and the way in which everybody and everything is, then of course right in the midst of our terror or fear of punishment or shame, we can be simultaneously, we can be nourished. Our depths are so nourishing. But also, I really picked this up from what you were saying, Lizzie, not have to turn away from what's here. So it's not the abandoning move that Mark Nepo talks about that's so easy for us to do, is, well, if I'm, I won't be this way, then I'll try to be this way, is to say, well, I am this way and this way, and I'm also something that I don't even really know. And can I let myself feel that?
It's making me think, Justin, of the kind of courage that it takes to let go of our story, even a tiny bit, so that we can, because I think it's really, it's like we're not sure whether there's anything there in the depth. We're not sure whether presence has anything for us. And so we are turning away from that life into distraction and into stuff and into disastrous thinking and into catastrophizing or whatever it is that we get up to. And to let go of that being who we are takes a kind of faith and support and togetherness. To just even experiment with that. Experiment with being, with being. To see what being might bring us. And to see what deepening might bring us in terms of our experience of ourselves. And there are so many reasons to hold on to our difficulties. Like one way that we might know who we are is to be in difficulty. You know, the image that comes to me is like, I think it's that film Gravity, when Sandra Bullock is the space person and suddenly the wire kind of snaps and she goes into outer space, just floating around. And, you know, sometimes it feels like that might happen, that we might get lost, that we might not know ourselves any longer. If we were to let go of the way we're trying to be positive, or let go of the way we're sinking into the disastrousness of our pain and thinking that there's a way that we think it identifies us as us. And I'm just feeling the kind of courage that it is to, yeah, to be present rather than have an agenda or a story. And how it is quite a radical thing to even consider it in the scheme of what we do as humans and what's normal for us in this world today.
I love the way you're talking about the kind of attachment we can have to a particular identity. You know, even if it's the I'm frightened identity, or the I'm angry identity, or I'm the one who gets frustrated when identity, or whatever it is that we mistake ourselves for, when we mistake ourselves for that aspect of ourselves, mm-hmm. because it's familiar to us. And because I think even more importantly, as you just said, we're afraid that if we weren't holding on tight to that, there'd be nothing else.
Mm.
I'd be nothing. I'd be gone. And that's terrifying. So we're prepared to hold on to something that's very, very small and not serving us, mostly because it's familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It gives our life some kind of structure. It brings meaning to what we encounter. It gives us a sense of what to do mm. in any particular situation, because I'm this kind of person.
Mm.
And I agree that the letting go, that's such a beautiful image of, I've seen the film, so that when the cord gets cut and everything goes silent and she floats off into space and it's really not clear what to do next,
mm.
it's really hard for us. Mm. As you were speaking, I was feeling very grateful for the discipline of coaching, actually, for the things I find in my work with people that I'm coaching is
mm.
that when I soften myself and really pay attention to another, it's not so hard to feel another person's depth. And very often, whoever it is I'm talking to, that's the dynamic that you're describing, because it's such an ordinary human dynamic, is the one that's going on, is that they're caught up in, taken up in the truth of a particular kind of situation. And it's my role here is to know them as way more vast and way more deep than they know themselves, and to be in contact with their depth as a way of inviting them to be in contact with it and all the freedom and possibility that comes from it. So when I sit with someone else and I'm caught up in my own attachment to my own smaller, more constrained, more imprisoning way of being, it's very often the act of feeling another person's depth just by being with them, by mm. looking at their face, by gazing into their eyes, by feeling their presence, that my own depth and my own contact with my own depth is restored to me. And I start to see through, in the way Mark Nepo says, I start to see through to a deeper truth about what it is to be human.
Mm.
And that's getting me thinking about not just this practice of coaching that we both share and teach and all of that, but something that Mark Nepo doesn't say, which is part of the path through this for us is being with others,
mm.
is releasing ourselves into the depth mm. of another, which can be so apparent even when we can't find our own depth. And that's how we find, that's how we get restored to ourselves again.
Mm.
And that maybe it's too much to ask for us to be able to do this on our own. Sometimes we can, but mm. mostly we need the presence of other depths with us.
I completely agree. And I feel like it's that, and kind of like yesterday I got really scared about something and I felt a bit like manipulated by something, and I was really frightened, and I thought, my goodness, I'm not sure I can kind of let go of this. Like, I feel really felt scared. And something somebody had said to me made me feel afraid of their intentions for me. And I thought, my goodness, maybe this won't disappear. Like, that's how I felt about it. I was like worried that it wouldn't go away, that I would have to be with this feeling afraid. And it wasn't even in an existential way. It was quite a kind of personal way. And I really thought, well, how can I work with myself? How can I? And I had somebody with me that I trusted, and I talked about it. And it felt really hard to let go of it. And this morning, I can still contact it if I wanted to, but it's not like all of my experience right now. And I'm experiencing a kind of, just in review of what happened inside of me and my experience, was that I was with another person that I trusted, and also I was able to be present to the feeling and the experience rather than it having me completely. So even at its strongest, there was some kind of awareness that it wasn't all of who I am. It was an experience, but I kind of knew that it had the potential to feel like all of me if I let it. Like, it was a really kind of feeling very invaded feeling. Like someone had crossed a boundary that wasn't theirs to cross, and that they were in it and it wasn't okay with me. And I suppose every time that happens and I find a depth with it and I find contact with humans who can help me, it makes me feel like there's hope. Because I can also see the road where I don't get somebody to talk to me and I don't have any contact with anything bigger than my feeling or my experience. And that road is available to me all the time. Like, I could go down that road, and it could get bigger and it could get more wild, this feeling. And without belittling it or diminishing it, it seems like I have a way of being with it and allowing it to have its course whilst also not thinking it's the entirety of who I am. And I think that's what depth does. It brings that kind of rich support that you're talking about. And that's what connection does. It brings a richness of support, having multiple depths around me that are trustworthy in my world. It really helps to be able to face whatever this life has for us in connection rather than in isolation. And as you're talking, I'm like kind of just musing at that and going, well, I'm grateful that I have that way of being in the world that can encounter things and feel really deeply traumatized by them, because that's what it is to be me. And there's more going on than just that, which helps me to be in it and face it and not run away and not be defended. Because that's the other thing I felt, was like, oh, well, I'm just going to like get the person, you know, or I'm going to, you know, shame someone else in response to it just so that they're also ashamed. Or, you know, I felt all this stuff arising as a defense and a protection. And then I had to ask myself, well, what am I protecting myself against? What am I defending against? Can I be with this as just an experience for myself without lashing out and turning it into someone else's thing, or turning it back on the person even? So there's all this kind of resource that comes from the depth of reflection and the depth of presence too, rather than being it itself only.
Yes. Like when there's wonderful to hear the way that you're talking about it. And what's striking me is when we can be in contact with the depth that we are, or another way of thinking about it, when we can be the depth that we are, then the thing that had got us hooked so convincingly, that may have lots of truth in it, that's what Martin Hippo says, is there's a truth and there's another truth.
Exactly.
there's not a turning away from the first kind of truth. But we have so much more capacity to know ourselves as wider and deeper, and to know the world as wider and deeper, which also gives us much, much more freedom. a kind of particular kind of, like you said, I have to do something about it now, and it has to be this. Boy, do I know so many times that that's been, that is the way the world is. And what is really touching me in what you're saying is two things. One is you say, well, there's always a choice in one way or another, which path to follow. And the path of knowing ourselves, knowing our depths, our deepness, and the mysterious source of everything that we are, part of that is being with other people who we know to have to be depth like that, is being around people like that. And it got me wondering, you know, one way to come at this is to imagine that the conversation we're having is for each of us, which is how do we deal with our stuckness? How do we deal with our mistake of thinking that the whole world is terrifying because I'm terrified, or the whole world is punishing because I'm... So we could come at this conversation that way, which is how do I deal with it? But I think that the other side of it is, what does it take to live in a way that we can be depth for others? So that when we're around others, we can be an affordance for them to find that of themselves that's not caught up in this particular issue or this particular trouble, to find their resourcefulness and their capacity and their deep love and agency and trust and way that they're supported. That's really something to dedicate oneself towards in our lives, as being, instead of being, how do I sort myself out? How do I get out of my own trouble? Is to be one who can be an affordance for other people to be in contact with their own kind of trouble.
Also, just an extension of that, Justin, I feel like one of the deep vocational parts of this being for other people is that it gives me a place to welcome all the experiences of my life, because all those experiences generate the possibility of me being with that in another person. So whatever my suffering is, whatever my process is, whatever my difficulty is, whatever the happenings are, the way that I hold them is like they have their purpose in me and my life path, of course. But in the enriching of my life path with stuff, pain, joy, difficulty, arguments, kerfuffles, confusion, it's another way that the path between me and everybody else is enriched as well. So my learning isn't just for me ever. My learning facilitates the way I can have conversations with the children in our family. My learning enables me to be with others without them feeling ashamed of being themselves. You know, it's like it's not set, nothing separate in our process from anyone else's opportunity to be welcomed into something by us. So it feels like it all fertilizes the land between us, to be in our experience and welcoming all of it and not pushing any of it away, brings the fertility in the field between us to be able to welcome whatever's here.
I think another way you could be possible to say what you're talking about is, I love that you call it a vocational path, the path of living our lives so that we are more and more know ourselves and everyone as depth, takes exactly what you're saying, which is not learning to not push any of it away, to have every experience be an opportunity for contactfulness with life, every experience be an opportunity to learn something and see something, every experience, however difficult, however troubling, to be something that we welcome in. And often things need fixing and sorting out and all of those things. So I get that you're not, and I'm not making a distinction there, which says some, it's another sort of simplistic move to say, don't deal with your troubles, just welcome them. No, we have to deal with our troubles too. But like you say, to take them, to welcome them as a deepening part of our lives so that we may then be that kind of welcome for others. And so that when other people come into our orbit who are suffering and struggling, maybe we know that particular kind of difficulty and struggle or delight. But what we also know is a contact with something that's way beyond our ordinary everyday experience of ourselves, which we can draw on and offer to others so that they can be in contact with that in themselves too.
Yeah.
And that's what maybe has us all run around in crazy circles less.
Yeah.
You know, what a joy it is to be able to be that way for others. Mm-hmm. To have others be that way for us.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it must be about 9:30. It is.
Yeah. I feel grateful for Mark Nepo and the fact there's people in the world who speak this way. It's
really, yes.
Really wonderful.
Yes. Well, his this book is beautiful, The Things That Join the Sea and the Sky.
Mm.
Well, I'm feeling very grateful for you, Lizzie, and grateful for our growing community of people who are participating in this with us.
Mm.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.